there was a minister, and he was talking about a funeral that he had once conducted about a young man named Doug. He said Doug was an 18-year-old biker who rode with a very rough crowd. In fact, the T-shirt that they buried him in, it said it all. It said, "Ride hard, die hard." The funeral home, it was filled with bikers. The speaker, it boomed out this hard, driving rock music. The casket that he was buried in, it was filled with some of the items that were important to Doug. There was a bottle of Jack Daniels. There was an abundance of drug paraphernalia there. The viewing, get this, lasted for 2.5 hours. The mourners, they filled the room with their crying, with their sadness. Some of them literally lifted the body half out of the casket as they went to hug their dear friend. The bikers, they couldn't get over the fact that Doug was dead. They were filled with despair, with hopelessness, because they had come to see their friend, and it was obvious he wasn't ever coming back. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says that Jesus became a mortal, that he put on flesh and bone, and he became just like us. Listen to these words found in Hebrews 2. It says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." You see, that's exactly what was happening here at this funeral for this dead biker. These people, they literally feared death because it had taken their friend. Do you know that the fear of death has plagued man ever since Adam and Eve first sinned in the garden? One man put it this way. He said, "The fear of death makes us act foolishly, committing ourselves to self-destructive habits, anesthetizing ourselves with drugs and alcohol. We try to act younger than we are and make fools of ourselves in the process, sometimes even destroying our families by trying to reverse the irreversible process of aging. You see, there is no fountain of youth. There is no way for our mortal bodies to live forever. Sure, science, they might be able to prolong our lives, but it can't do anything about dying. Plastic surgeons, they might make you look like you've cheated death, but you won't. We will all die one day unless Jesus comes first." But you see, unlike the rest of the world, we who belong to Jesus Christ, we who are Christians, who are Christ followers, we don't have to be afraid of death, because Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Today, as we continue this series, we're going through the great I Am. That's what I want us to talk about today. It's found in John chapter 11. We're going to read verses 24 through 27 in just a few moments. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." But let me lay a little bit of foundation work for you. Jesus has a very close friend. His name is Lazarus. And Lazarus became very sick. And so they sent for Jesus and asked him to come and to heal Lazarus so that he wouldn't be sick anymore. And Jesus was a little bit late in getting there, and Lazarus has passed away. They have buried him. His body has been in the tomb for 4 days. And Jesus comes walking up, and Martha, one of Lazarus' sisters, goes out to meet him. And she says, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will do whatever you ask." And so Jesus says to her, "Your brother will rise again." And that's where we pick up in our story at John chapter 11, verse 24. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read these four verses. Martha answers Jesus, and she says, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world." Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of His holy word. You know, there are an awful lot of people who have a problem with this biblical teaching of the resurrection. About 10 years ago, there was a Newsweek magazine. The religious editor, her name was Lisa Miller. And she put an article in the magazine, a blog, just 1 week before Easter. And in that Easter article, she summed up her view of the resurrection. She said, "For my part, I don't buy it. The story of Christ's resurrection, it has strained the credulity of even the most devout believer. For truly, it is unbelievable." She went on, and even several times within her article, she said that this idea of a physical resurrection, it was unbelievable. It presented credibility problems. And so she concluded, "For my part, I don't buy it." Now, to be fair to her, she's not the only one who has ever had problems with this idea. A few years back, Scripps Howard News Service, along with Ohio University, they asked a cross-section of Americans this question. They said, "Do you believe that after you die, your physical body will be resurrected?" 54% of those who surveyed said they did not, and 10 of them said that they were really undecided, they weren't sure. So 2/3 of Americans were saying, "We don't think that it's possible." Because you see, dead people, they tend to stay dead. Back in the days of Jesus, there were a lot of people who had problems with that as well. The Sadducees, they were part of the Sanhedrin, and they rejected the idea that anybody's body would rise from the dead. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, he told them that he would die, that he would be buried, and that he would be raised again. And Peter, he couldn't believe it. And when the other disciples heard the news, they were filled with grief. Peter and John, they race to the tomb, and they find the empty tomb. And John chapter 20, verse 9, it tells us that when they arrived, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. But you know what? He did. Jesus rose from the dead. Now, if you recall, there was this rumor that was being spread by the Jews that some of Jesus' disciples had come and they'd stolen the body and they hid it. See, Jesus' body, it was missing. But it wasn't missing for very long. Paul actually tells us of hundreds of witnesses to the risen Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, we read, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." Jesus Christ, He rose from the dead. And because Jesus rose, so will we. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, Jesus actually introduces Himself. He says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." In other words, when Jesus died and He was placed in that tomb, He didn't stay there. And when He rose from the grave, He literally picked up the keys to death and Hades, and He carried them on His way out. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Now, when I read that statement, Jesus is the resurrection and the life, a couple questions kind of come to mind. Why did Jesus say that He was the resurrection and the life? Why doesn't He just simply say, "I am the resurrection"? Why does He throw in that whole seemingly redundant life thing anyway? Well, it helps us to understand the setting where Jesus is at. He arrives to His best friend Lazarus, and he's dead. He's been in the grave for 4 days. Jesus enters the village, and one of Lazarus' sisters come running up to him and says, "If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And you know what? That's a true statement. But Jesus had deliberately delayed his arrival because, get this, he intended to raise Lazarus from the dead as his very last miracle before his own crucifixion. Lazarus, he was going to come out of the grave, but his sisters didn't know that. And so Jesus, once again, is kind of setting up the scene. He's telling them, I am the resurrection and the life. Your brother is going to live again. And shortly thereafter, they roll the stone away from the tomb. And Jesus calls Lazarus out of the grave, and Lazarus rises from the grave, and he steps out. But here's the deal. Lazarus was going to die again. His resurrection, it was not permanent. But our resurrection from the dead, it will be. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 54. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised, imperishable, and will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. We have the promise of eternal life. In fact, we read about it in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is the resurrection, and Jesus is the life. Jesus said what he said, the way that he said it, because he not only came to raise people from the dead, to give people life, but he also came to give us eternal life. So that's the first question. Why did Jesus stress being the life? The second question was, why did Jesus say what he said the way that he said it? You know, I am the resurrection and the life. Why does he just simply say, I'm going to raise from the people from the dead and I'm going to give them life? Why is Jesus, again, making it all about himself? Well, Jesus is making it all about himself because it is all about him. Jesus is the subject. Jesus is the power of resurrection, and Jesus is the power of life. Now, here around the church, in my house, and I'm sure in your house as well, you have light switches on the walls, don't you? Yes. Okay, good, thanks. And when you enter into a dark room, you just kind of walk in and you flip the switch up and the lights come on. But the light switch doesn't give power to that light. It simply is the way that you can go and turn that power on. The power behind that light, it comes from the power company miles and miles away. And the power company, it generates that power. And then it runs through transformers and power lines and breakers. And finally, it gets to that switch. You see, without the electric company creating that power, there's no power. You can flip the switch on all day long, all you want, and there's going to be no light. Because the power, it is not found in that little switch. And what Jesus is saying is this: I am the power of resurrection, and I am the power of life. Without me, Jesus is saying, you will not have eternal life. You can eat as healthy as you would like. You can take as many vitamins as you wish. You can exercise every single day for several hours. But ultimately, you're still going to die. You're going to die because you do not have the power of resurrection in life. You only have the ability to flip the switch. Only Jesus has the power of resurrection life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. So how do you flip the switch? If Jesus is the power of the resurrection and the power of life, how do you lay hold of that power? Well, it's actually kind of simple. The Bible tells us all we need to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God, that we need to repent of our sins, determine that we're not going to live that way anymore. We're going to follow after Jesus. We're going to allow him to be our Lord and our Master. You see, that's our message. The empty tomb, that is our message. And it is a message of hope. Because you see, only in the emptiness of Christ's grave do we have hope. I want to close by telling you a story. A story that Joe Bailey told in a book that he wrote. It was called A View from a Hearse. He told of a few days after his son had died of cancer, and he returned to the clinic to go and to thank them for their kindness and their care of his son. And as he spoke to the receptionist motioned to a woman whose son was over playing with some toys over in a waiting area. "He has the same cancer that your son had." She said, "Why don't you go on over there and talk to her, see if you can help her out a little bit." Well, Joe didn't really want to go over there, but he reluctantly went over and he sat down next to the lady. And he said to her, "It must be hard bringing him in for treatments." "Hard," she replied. "I die every time I bring him in. And what makes it even worse is I know that it's not going to stop the cancer. I know that one day he is going to die." And Joe Bailey was getting uncomfortable. But still he tried again, and he said, "Still, it must be at least some comfort to know that when that happens, there is no more pain and suffering, that they go to a better place." There was a harshness in her voice, and she cried, "No, when he dies, I'm just going to bury him in the cemetery, and I'll never see him again." Now, Bailey, he wanted to get up and leave. It was uncomfortable for him to be reminded about the loss of his own son. Even more uncomfortable to be reminded, as he was speaking to this lady, who obviously had no hope. But he quietly gathered himself, and he said, "I buried my boy just yesterday, and I've only come in here today to thank the doctors and the nurses for their kindness. I know what you're feeling, but I also know that there is a better life for my son now." "How could you believe such a thing?" she cried. And then Joe Bailey told her about Jesus. You see, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever believes in me and lives shall never die." Do you believe this? You see, the empty tomb is our only message. And the risen Christ is our only hope. See, the fact for us Christians, as Christ followers, is that death, it is not the final door. And the grave, it is not the final resting place. Jesus, he is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?